everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Big Data Show. I'm your host, Nate Latimer, with a very special guest, friend of mine. We've got Mr. Todd Ulmer, who owns several bars, nightclubs, several over his career. But today, we're going to be talking about the dust. So, Todd, thank you so much for being here. If you want, just take a minute, just give everybody a little background about yourself, your successes, and, you know, all your, you know, just really what you're all about. What makes Todd cool?
All right. Well, first of all, thanks for having me.
Of course.
Pleasure to be here. I've had over 25-year career right now in the bar business. Done a lot of locations, mainly all downtown Orlando. Right now, I have three locations in the Thornton Park District, The Dust, Aku Aku Tiki Bar, and the 808. Done some things downtown, did the Lodge originally years ago, Room 39, The Beacon, Mucho Tequila and Tacos. So, among others, yeah, I won't bore you with all those. So
they're definitely not boring. They're not boring. So, The Dust, formerly known as Stardust, really cool theme you created over there. You know, it's like retro Vegas themed, like very rouge red. You know, you've got, you know, great pool tables in the back, great bar staff. You got like burlesque events that happen. So it's just a really cool, like, underground vibe right there in, you know, the heart of Lake Eola, downtown-ish Orlando. So I love that place. Go there quite frequently.
Yeah. I think I've seen you around.
Yeah, a few times. So talk about, you know, what really, I guess, inspired you to open Stardust and how it's evolved now into The Dust.
So getting a basement bar was, first of all, like something I've always wanted. After the first time I visited New York City, when the space came available, my partner at the time and me, like, I instantly was like, we've got to get this spot. So it's just, it's very unique for Florida. It's very unique in, you know, in bigger cities, but I think we're one of two in Orlando. So I really wanted the basement bar. I've opened and sold a lot of places in the past. This one's coming on 15 years. For some reason, it has a soft spot in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I love the basement bar, but also then giving it that retro feel. It was all about, like, kind of creating this kind of, you know, classic vintage Vegas feel is what the theme we decided to go with it. And that was roughly the year after they imploded the Stardust Casino. So we thought that this would be a cool homage to, like, you know, give to, you know, it was a perfect timing for what the style we wanted to go with. So, and, you know, everything in there from the Sputnik lights to the mirrored ceilings to the way the booths were designed, it was all to, you know, go after that. And, you know, even then doing shows like our burlesque show was all to kind of still stick with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the vibe is just, is really cool. Thanks. Like, I mean, it's almost speakeasy style because, you know, it's very unpresenting on the outside. You walk downstairs and it's just this beautiful environment, a lot of fun, great music, DJs, and yeah, so like, I absolutely love that place.
We were a speakeasy before the speakeasy craze even started.
So, yeah, they're all over the place in Orlando now. Yeah. So that's The Dust. Just curious, you know, I'm just wondering, you as, you know, really a serial entrepreneur and, you know, owning bars, lounges, you know, nightclubs or what have you throughout your career, navigating through those waters, you know, through the ups and downs, like, I know recently, you had to rebrand as The Dust. So, can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, after 14 years, it was a shock that we got a cease and desist letter from the Stardust Casino, the Boyd Gaming, which owns that. And they still were holding on to the trademark unbeknownst to me. And so I got with a trademark attorney just to find out what was going on. He reached out to him and they were fairly easy to deal with. I mean, they just really wanted the name changed. I was trying to see what we could do to hold on to that name or a version of that name. You know, like, it wasn't really a secret that it was named after the casino. I mean, we literally have a large mural of their sign or their old sign inside the space, you know. And even the tiki bar, Aku Aku, is the Polynesian restaurant inside the casino. So, you know, they kind of had me. There was no question about that. So then it was then coming up with, you know, trying to figure out how to rename, rename the space so that we didn't lose, number one, our loyal customers. Number two, that, you know, people also would maybe realize it's not under new ownership. So it was difficult navigating that, but, you know, we did some certain things that I think worked, and we're still getting there. You know, we're still rebranding now. So we'll see. Yeah.
All right. On. So, I mean, what was that immediate knee jerk reaction whenever you got hit with that, you know, cease and desist? Like, yeah. Was it, you know, pretty shocking? Was it scary? Like,
it was bullshit. Yeah. You know, I was like, and then, you know, after the attorney called me back and said, nope, this is a real thing. It was like, you know, it was a little devastating at first. And then I was just like, okay, I've got to figure out how I can make this work for me, you know? So, you know, number one, picking a name that I knew this wasn't going to happen again.
Sure.
And then it was, you know, working through like versions of Stardust or anything like that. And then I just ended up kind of leaning back on what our locals would call it. If you're heading down there, I'm going down to the Dust, you know?
Yeah, so, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. It's like, you know, how did you land on, you know, the Dust?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty, you know, simple segue, but, you know, that's exactly right. You know, I live right in that neighborhood. So,
yeah.
You know, that is what everybody calls it, you know, even whenever it was, you know, Stardust. Yeah. Legally. Yeah, so everybody's like, let's go to the Dust, you know?
Right. I designed the first logo. And so, like, I decided, like, I need to find a graphic designer to try to take this new name and try to get it as close to the feeling of the old logo, because I like to tinker around with that stuff, but I wouldn't say I'm a good graphic designer. So, and I think he did a great job. I think that like, you know, the sign, I think that, you know, we were slow to, we first changed our social media because that was a big one that they wanted to see done right away. And then they gave us time on getting signage made because obviously the permitting and actually creating a sign. So, so we started doing social media changes and just kind of putting that out there slowly. And then obviously the locals started seeing it happen. So, you know, they kind of started seeing it already, but then when the sign went up, it really has been a pretty easy.
It's pretty
transition.
Seamless. Yeah. It was pretty seamless. Like, yeah. I mean, that's what I was going to say, you know, it doesn't seem like you really had to skip a beat at all. So, yeah. I mean, I guess for, you know, other serial entrepreneur, you know, bar owner, lounge owners, club owners, you know, in the nightlife hospitality world, you know, you've been in the business for a while. So, you know, navigating through some of the tough times, like let's take like, you know, the 2008 mortgage industry collapse, you know, let's take, you know, the COVID lockdown pandemic, which, you know, everybody shut down. Nobody mm-hmm. could go out. Like, you know, what did you do during those times?
Yeah. 2008 was a tough time. We had a really kind of a high end place in the area a few blocks away. That was the first time that, that we actually closed the doors of a place. It was, you know, it was crazy. It was like one day, business was huge, and it was like someone just turned the lights off.
What did that feel like? Did you think you were going to lose it all, or?
Oh, I thought I was going to lose everything. Yeah, I mean, that's actually when. So I, you know, grew up in the industry as a bartender, and then started opening places, and then did both for a while, and then I was getting out of it during that time, and we had the Stardust at the time, and I just said, I'm buckling down. I'm getting behind that bar. I'm going to work it every night and make sure that we don't lose this one last location. Mm-hmm. And we powered through it. I mean, it actually, I think, worked opposite. Like, we went from, you know, being slower because of the crash to just staying there and working it and, you know, constantly promoting it. We ended up, our sales took a turn up even during that time. Me and my partner at the time were just like, this is where we're going to live until so we know we're going to get through this.
Sure.
And then COVID was just another level of it because, like, you couldn't even go and try. You know, they just shut us down. Mm-hmm. So I took probably about 3 days of drinking like everybody did.
Sure.
And then it was just like, you know, after a while, I was just like, you know what? Every day I'm going to get up. I'm going to go down to the bar. I'm going to, I don't care if I'm just cleaning it, if I'm, you know, fixing old problems, getting it ready for when that day that they say we can open again, that it's ready to go. And then as they started allowing things like, you know, drive through and batch cocktails like that, I did everything and constantly stayed on the phone with other business owners, finding out where the PPP money, where the grant money was. And I was on my laptop every day. I would promise myself till noon or one, every day I'll
That's
work
what
my
it
ass
takes,
off.
Man.
And then I'm like, by 1 o'clock, I'm like, okay, I can have a beer now. Yeah, it was just like, it didn't matter what I did, whether I was doing repairs or looking for money. Yeah, but I went to work 7 days a week.
Yeah, I absolutely admire that. The tenacity, you know, I mean, that's just life of a business owner.
Yeah.
You know, some people roll over and die and cry, you know, but, you know, if you're tenacious, you know, there's failure is not an option.
Yeah.
So
no. we ended up okay on the other side of it, you know? And then when we reopened, one of the things was we got the outside area closed down. There's a street out in front to be able to do some outside serving, brought some food trucks in, and we're still able to use that space today, which has helped our sales even today still. So it's great.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So hats off to you there.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, you still have three places open now, right?
We opened one after it, and then the spike came again. I was like, what am I doing?
Fair enough. So, well, let's see. Another question, I guess, is really, you know, since you've rebranded, you know, what's the future looking like for, you know, the Dust? You know, what are your plans with Aku? We haven't spoken too much about 808 yet, but, you know, where do you see, you know, the next 5 years going for Todd? And, you know, are you opening more places or like what, you know, what's next for Todd?
Well, so, you know, right now I'm getting ready for the 15-year anniversary, so we'll throw a bunch of parties kind of geared towards that because that's all happening now in the next, like, 3 to 4 weeks. And then there's things we did, like our burlesque show we started the first Thanksgiving, so we'll be doing a big 15-year anniversary for that. But, yeah, like, you know, the bar industry's changed in the 15 years the Dust has been open. So, like, one of the things we're starting to do is, like, work on cocktail menus. Like, that's, you know, having the right cocktail menu now is really important into, like, especially, you know, bars people come out on Fridays and Saturday nights for. So we're working on our cocktail program, things like that. We're getting some additional, like, DJ and some event nights. We've added another burlesque show a month on a first Thursdays. And then Aku, its 10-year anniversary is coming around in February. So the Tiki World is a totally different, you know, ball game. I'm releasing 2 or 3 this mugs.
It's kind of a cult following.
It is. It's great. Yeah. But they're very loyal, you know, and it's I release Tiki mugs there. My merchandise does really well. And that in turn can draw business into the bar also. Mm-hmm. So I got a mug coming out within hopefully the next 3 to 4 weeks. So that'll be good. We just launched a new drink menu there also.
Mm-hmm. And you sell all your merch like e-com style too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Online. Yeah. We do. I do really well. Usually if I bring in 500 mugs, I sell them in about, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. So it's pretty crazy.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So, I guess my next question for you would be, you know, you've always bootstrapped everything, and kind of just, you know, self-made. Have you ever taken like investment money? Like, you know, how did you get to where you are? I mean, you were a bartender and now, you know, you've owned multiple places, survived through tough times. So I think that's really what, would be inspiring to hear from you. Is, you know, how you did that, because there's so many people that want to do that, but like they're terrified to do it, fear of failure. So if you could speak to that, and you know, if you've taken investment money, how you know, were able to secure it, you know, like what was that hustle like, you know?
It's all a hustle. It's still a hustle. After all these years, it's always a hustle. So, and you got to remember, it's like, that's part of this industry. It is a hustle, you know, like new bars open up and you got to, even though you're 15 years in, there is a luxury of having people that know your brand and come by, but you still got to stay relevant, you know? So, but as far as getting started, yeah, I mean, you know, I've had a million bartenders that have worked for me over the years and they'll all ask, like, you know, I want to do what you're doing and how do I get there? And I'm like, you know, number one, I gave up my 20s and 30s to work. You know,
sure.
I did it all. I worked and worked. And I was opening. By the time we opened a place, we usually had another one we were working on the lease on already. You know, there was a span of 10 years. I think I did 8 locations.
Mm-hmm. Team no sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I gave up that time. And like now I'm trying to enjoy life a little bit more. But, you know, back then it was all straight hustle. And I was bartending most of those years too. So, but I also, every time you risk it all, like, mm-hmm. you know, you put it all on the line. You gotta believe in yourself and you gotta bet on you.
Yeah.
You know?
100%. Like, but, especially when that's your only retirement plan, you wake up in cold sweats, panicking, you know, that's just part of the game.
It is, you know, but it's also addictive that way too. You know, it's like once you've done it, but, I brought in investors. You know, that's tough at the beginning. And like, that's why a lot of times I tell, you know, young people, like if you can get property and do something like that early on, because you always have that second mortgage or something you can do if you know you're, and that's worked for myself and I know several other bar owners. Because if you just kind of get that first one going, and then if you start proving yourself, it starts becoming easier. The last place I raised money for, I did it fairly quick. You know, I had a pretty good run over these years, and you know, I never try to oversell and promise too much. So like, you know, the expectations are realistic and also know when to get out.
Yeah, you know, it's a great track record. Yeah. So, you know, you earn that trust. So your projections are there and risk factors are lower because they've seen you do it before, you know, but that's earned over time. So.
Yeah, it takes some time. And then also you got to remember, like, it's not only you do have a staff and you have a location, but you can't fall in love so much because you also have a responsibility to the shareholders. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if
you always have a boss, right? You always have a boss.
Even people think you don't, but you sure do.
You always have a boss.
For sure. Yeah.
Very cool, Tom. Well, I think it's great, man. I love your locations. If you guys ever want to check them out, it's Lake Eola, right outside of downtown. And you got The Dust now, formerly Stardust. You got Aku Aku, the Tiki Bar, and 808, which is just, you know, a few blocks away. So they're great locations. And Todd, thank you so much for sharing your experience and you know what you've been through, how you got there. It's a fascinating story to me. So I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks a lot, man. It was a pleasure being here.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.